Hey people, do you want to polish your watch like a professional for under 20 bucks? Well, today's episode is being sponsored by Cape Cod Polishing Cloth, the only cloth that cleans, polishes, and protects. Order your Cape Cod Polishing Cloth kit today. Go to www.capecodpolish.com. In the kit, you get 12 metal polishing cloths, a buffing cloth, and a pair of reusable gloves. It's the best 20 bucks you'll ever spend, and you'll love the results. Okay, on with the show. Today's episode features a conversation I had with Worn & Wound's co-founders Zach Weiss and Blake Malin. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? I'm on the phone with Blake Malin and Zach Weiss. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys for doing this. For those of you who don't know, Blake and Zach are the co-founders of Worn & Wound, which is one of the coolest blogs out there for watches, for a sort of, I'd say, accessible entry-level, you know, watch price points, as well as the Worn & Wound Watch Fair in New York City, which you guys actually just completed at the end of October. How'd that go?
It was fantastic. Third show and their best one yet.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. I've actually been following it from the very beginning. So I'm very, very, even though I don't know you guys, I'm very proud of you guys. It's a huge undertaking. I don't know how you guys pulled it off the way you did with, you know, having like Oris as a title sponsor and all these other amazing brands that actually a lot of people don't know about. That's why I wanted to do this podcast.
Thanks.
Because I feel
I was just going to say, we really appreciate the feedback. And no, that's really great to hear. You know, like you're saying, you haven't actually been yourself, but it's great to hear that you're, you know, into what we're doing. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think that's a sort of similar feedback we get from everyone. And we're obviously very humbled whenever anyone has anything nice to say about what we're doing. But it's just great to hear that we get feedback from folks about how they feel like this is the kind of event that needs to be taking place. That was really the goal for us from the beginning, was to do something that maybe other folks weren't doing, and just sort of fill a gap in the watch event market. So that's really great feedback.
No, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I can tell you, as someone who, you know, has my own blog and my own podcast, I mean, it's a big undertaking. That's not an easy thing to pull off. I don't know how much help you guys have doing it. I can barely manage what I'm doing because I'm doing it on my own. But I give kudos to you guys because you guys are fairly young, right? Like, how old are you guys?
We're both in our early 30s. Yeah, I think that it's interesting because, you know, watches are such an interesting niche, and you know, we've been around for, you know, almost 7 years now, and I think that, you know, a lot of folks don't really have sort of a clear picture of what it's like to run a website and a blog and a shop and all these things.
Right.
And yeah, it's definitely a huge undertaking, and it takes a lot of folks. You know, we're all working on it internally, but then we also contract out with a bunch of folks. But I think, you know, the other thing that some people might be interested to learn about Worn & Wound is that, you know, over the years we have sort of built up a bit of a team. You know, there's three of us here in New York. We have a full-time partner in California. We've got writers around the country. We work with all kinds of folks to pull the event off. So, yeah, definitely, you know, it takes a village, so to speak, to pull something like that off.
Well, I really hope I can attend next year. And I will do everything I can to try. And I know that, we have a mutual friend as well, John Tarantino, who I've interviewed three times for my podcast, and I know very well from Martinero, and he actually is the one who turned me on to you guys. So thanks,
great.
John. He's a great guy, and he's doing amazing things with his own brand, but, you know, I've been following your story, and I know that you guys, you know, you have very specific taste. And what I love about what you're doing, as opposed to a lot of other bloggers in the watch sphere, is that you guys are kind of like making it very, not only are you making the brands accessible, but you're making yourself accessible, which is not always mutually exclusive. And I think that that's a really important thing, because like in a world of watches, like especially for like the novice who may have just gotten one watch, like inherited or passed down or bought by his father, mother, whatever, to get into watches, it's very intimidating. And I think that you guys kind of debug or defunct that sort of myth about you have to be a massive collector to even read or follow any of these blogs, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's cool. It's, you're doing it sort of from a, from an everyday man kind of angle that I think has been missing in the watch industry.
Thanks. I mean, that's definitely how and why we got into it in the first place. And, you know, this is the kind of people we are. You know, when we started Warner One in 2011, Blake and I did not have big fancy collections. I mean, I'm actually just looking at the watches we're wearing right now. Blake's got a Tudor on, and I have a Speedmaster. And these are not watches I think we ever would have thought about owning back then. We had Seikos and Timexes and, you know, just your classic, like, under $300 watch, your starter watches that get people really into it. And frankly, we all still go back to and wear. And yeah, I mean, we felt that what was out there was a little bit closed doors to us, being that we weren't buying Pateks and luxury watches. So we really wanted to make it accessible, not just, you know, from a price standpoint, but as you put it, from like an emotional standpoint almost, you know, just we're not pretentious, I hope, maybe occasionally, but, you know, it's the goal not to be.
Okay, you're allowed.
And, you know. You know, it happens every now and then, but, you know, it's always about making it accessible and the tone accessible and appreciating that not everybody can spend all day reading about watches and knows every little thing and every little reference number, you know, that somebody who's going to be reading our article might be the first time they've ever read anything about watches. So you want to make sure that they're just as welcome as, like, the seasoned enthusiast, you know.
That's awesome. And did you guys have a podcast from the very beginning, or was that something that you started sort of, it just organically happened, or?
That's new this year, actually. We launched it just a bit before Baselworld 2017, I think. It's something we've been thinking about doing for a very long time, but, you know, to be perfectly honest, you know, we're very comfortable kind of behind the keyboard and writing, and we've never really been the kind of folks who kind of get out in front of the camera too often.
Right.
So it was something we talked about a long time, but, you know, finally pulling the trigger on it. And what's cool about the podcast, and I'm sure you've gotten this feedback too, is that, like, people really seem to respond positively to things where they get to sort of get to know you a little bit more personally. And, you know, the podcast is, for us at least, a much more sort of casual space for us to have conversations. So whereas the website is a little more formal, sort of written to record, so to speak, like, the podcast is us kind of just yesing a little bit, kind of chit-chatting. Some are more casual than other episodes, and people seem to have responded really well to just hearing, you know, our voices, the voices of people behind brands, getting to know people a little bit more on a personal level.
Yeah, I think the podcast also makes it so accessible on a global scale in a way in which maybe print media, whether it's online or, you know, in hand, just sometimes can't. Because, you know, you get so many people who commute to work and you have long distances, and I've been told on my podcast, and it always amazes me, is like, sometimes you forget that who you're doing this for, and then when people react to it or respond to it, you're like, holy shit, you listen to my podcast. Because it's not something, I mean, you, of course, you want people to listen to your podcast, and if you have a following, they will listen to your podcast, but it's kind of like it allows you to be in your own world, I guess, you know, and without being too intimidating or overbearing or whatever. So that's cool. I'm happy for you guys. And I listened to one of your podcasts, and you guys are definitely headed in the right direction. So I wish you a lot of luck with that.
Thanks. Thank you.
Do you guys have plans to expand to other markets? Like, I know, like, you know, Windup is a New York based watch fair. Is that something that you can see going, you know, across the pond?
Yeah, we'd like to definitely do more of them. It's something from the very beginning, you know, Windup is one of those things where we're very fortunate for it to have sort of been successful from the beginning. People responded well to it. And while it's grown over time, the general feedback we've gotten from folks is like, yeah, this is a really great event. So from the beginning, we've always thought about what we can do with it. And I think this year is sort of the first year where the demand for people coming has been sort of overwhelmingly more than what we could have handled at the event.
Wow.
I think, you know, again, we're very grateful for this, that there's, you know, a bit of a buzz that's developed about the event. So, yeah, there's just a ton of brands. So the goal would be to do more. We'd really like to try to do two next year. I have no definitive details about where that would be. It'll probably be another one in the United States, just not in New York.
Right.
But, you know, we obviously, given that we're a website that's pretty much read, you know, kind of all over the world at different levels, you know, places like you know, like in London, for example, like that would be a place where something could happen. So, you know, who knows? You know, the, you know, who knows
what
happens
from London too, right?
Again.
You
what
have
was that?
You have a contributing writer from London, I believe, Brad, right?
Yeah, we have two, Brad and Mark MacArthur Christie.
So. Okay, very cool. Yeah, I mean, I believe me, I grew up in London half my life, so I grew up going to these markets, these watch markets, when I was very young. So that's very cool that if you ever get to that part, it's, I mean, I think the English are even more passionate in a lot of ways about watches than more than even Americans. It's pretty cool.
Huh. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, no, we definitely like to. It's just, you know, New York was lucky we're here because we can just walk and visit venues and everything. So the next time when we try and do one outside of the city, we'll be our first experiments in kind of doing it, you know, from afar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can cross continents later.
Yeah, it's also, you know, like I think what's really important with Windup for us is that, you know, it's different, I think, in a lot of ways, or we try to make it unique in a lot of ways, you know, with the brands that are there. But also where it is very important. And we always, from the first year, wanted to put it somewhere that was sort of not your typical place for watch events. So it's not on Madison Avenue, or it's not sort of the luxury.
I love
it.
Yeah, the Chelsea Market. It's perfect.
Yes. Thanks. No, thank you. That's, you know, so the goal is to be somewhere that's sort of like more where people are out and about, just kind of checking things out, you know, where tourists might be, that kind of thing. So in New York, it's like, you know, we both, you know, that's a native New Yorker. I've been here for the past like 10 plus years. It's like second nature to be like, oh yeah, that's where we want to have it. We want to have it in Chelsea
Yeah,
Market.
We know the neighborhood.
We don't really know other cities quite that well, so it's a little bit bigger of a list. But, you know, it's something we definitely want to work out for next year.
Well, I was totally sad that I couldn't attend because my cousin lives right behind the Flatiron building. And she's always in Chelsea, and she's always hanging out there. And we always go get food over there. I mean, they have some of the best food ever. I think I had like tahini ice cream there. It's kind of weird, but it was cool. But just knowing that you guys, you know, did it there. I mean, how many people did you get this year? Do you have an idea of how many people attended?
Yeah. We had, you know, somewhat similar traffic to last year. So about 15,000 people over the weekend.
Massive.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I mean, I think, you know, it's obviously a great number because I think you can say that and people are like, oh yeah, it's a lot of people. I think, you know, more importantly for us is that the brands felt very busy. They felt like there were a lot of folks coming to talk to them. And, you know, I said this, you know, on our podcast and sort of communicating Windup with other people that, you know, what's most important to us is that people have a really good experience because, you know, those brands are the ones that are going to go talk to other folks about it and talk about their experience. So, you know, I think it's very important for us that brands get as much as they possibly can out of the event. So I think the traffic was, you know, spot on for that.
Well, I mean, just the fact that you have a dedicated following like that, and this is only your third year, I mean, that speaks volumes about you guys and what you've accomplished in a very short period of time. But it also shows you that the interest in this, the interest level in this thing is just going to keep growing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, I think, you know, we should say, you know, and I think this is sort of a feature of the event, is that we try to have it somewhere where we'll get a lot of traffic of people who might not have heard about the event before. Like they're just coming to the Chelsea Market and they're stopping into the event. But
right.
You know, that's what it's all about, right? Like we want people coming in and discovering watches for the first time. And they can come in and they can see a brand like Oris and really appreciate what, you know, a brand that's, you know, they're over 100 years old. Like what a brand like that's all about. And they can come in and see Baltic, who, you know, launched on Kickstarter, you know, less than a year ago. So,
yeah, and Autodromo and all those other guys. I mean, I've interviewed Bradley as well. And, you know, like these brands, what I'm seeing is this renaissance of these. You know, I've been in the watch industry for 30 plus years. I grew up in it my entire life. And I've, you know, I've seen trends come and go. I've, you know, been trained by A. Lang & Söhne as one of the first, you know, guys to graduate their academy in 2007. Like I've, you know, had a very, very, you know, a crazy watch career, but I've never seen like a renaissance that's going on like this in the sort of affordable entry level price point watches like you guys are covering. And it's really nice to see because these things are no longer looked at as cheap or like, oh, you can't afford like a real watch. You know what I mean? These things are actually much cooler to me than that, what the big brands are doing. And I think that's what makes it interesting. I think people, for the first time, there's like a shift. Like I predicted it 10 years ago. I was like, trust me, guys, the $3,000 to $5,000 price point is completely, like, has just been, like, looked over. And that's a very important price point. And I said, and even prices under that, up to $1,000, like, and people are like, you're crazy. That will never happen. Like, no one's ever going to get, you know, like, pumped up about a $1,000 watch. And I think you guys, what you're doing is a testament to what I just said. So it's pretty
cool. Definitely. You know, and I think we left out when we started Worn and Wound, you know, which we did for our own personal interest, frankly, right at the cusp of a lot of things changing really quickly that have coincided with exactly what you're talking about and the exact thing we tried to focus on. So, you know, Kickstarter really happened shortly after we launched Worn and Wound, and suddenly you had those brands coming up. Movements seem to be getting more accessible after, like, the Swiss watch, you know, the kind of Swatch ETA pullback, and you had Miyota and Seiko movements and all these other things coming up. Plus, I think just manufacturing accessibility suddenly kind of became more available to people. And, yeah, what you're seeing, you know, is from once was maybe a handful of, you know, niche brands that you know, diehards and collectors and forum guys really got into, to being something that is much more mainstream and acceptable, like you're saying. And I think if there are those of us that are into it, you know, we can pick some of these brands and you could compare them to some of the big houses that are out there. And, you know, dollars for donuts, that's an expression, right? It's like you can't tell which one's better, you know? So, like, what you can get now at $1,000 from some of these micro brands, I genuinely think competes with a $2,500 Swiss watch. You know, not all the time, but some of them, the ones that are really, you know, their act together and really design focused. So yeah, I mean, the value is incredible, and the design ingenuity, the creativity, I think it's all actually sometimes exceeding what else is out there.
Well, absolutely. And I think the most important thing out of all of it is the passion that goes into it. And the story that's being told, even with these new brands that don't have a history, there's a story behind them. And I think that's what makes it interesting. Even like when you look at Bradley's brand, like Autodromo, like when I spoke to him, I think about the Group B when it was just launched, I think what it was like 2 years ago it was launched, I think. Now, when I talked to him about it, I was like, man, that watch looks like a DeLorean. He's like, dude, that was my inspiration for this watch, you know, the lines on the DeLorean. Like, the very fact that detail is going in at such an entry-level price point compared to what, you know, what you spend on the high-level brands, it's just unbelievable. And sort of also the limited edition numbers as well. A lot of these brands, obviously, they don't have the money to make massive quantities. So in a way, as much as, you know, as much as they're accessible price-wise, they're also they will become collectible over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because of the amounts that are being made or the short supply. But how do you feel? Do you ever, I mean, do you talk to the bigger brands as well? Have you seen interest from, I know what you're covering is not the high end, but do you get, like, you know, do you have relationships with the other brands as well, the higher end brands?
Some of them, you know, I mean, as much as I personally admire, you know, Longues and those, you know, Pateks and whatever,
right,
they just aren't a fit for the site on a normal basis. So we haven't really, like, fostered close relationships with those brands. Like, we have Swatch Group, for example. But, you know, something from Omega, something from Tudor, those are definitely watches we'll cover when the, you know, the value that watch offers fits kind of our interests, our guidelines. So something that, you know, I reviewed, like, the Railmaster that came out at Basel last year, that is a master coaxial that was under 5K, you know, so that's kind of a, you know, makes sense. Is it expensive? Absolutely. But it's them kind of entering into that 3 to 5 market you were talking about before. But yeah, you know, the Longes and of the world, a little less so, but I love those watches.
And you guys love Nomos too. That's like one of the,
oh, sure.
You know, Nomos is one of my favorite brands. I've been following it from the very beginning. And actually, I had the opportunity to interview Merlin last year in New York. So that was pretty cool. And the brand is awesome. I love it. I love the evolution of it. I love the fact that, you know, it's one of the only brands that I know of that's designed by women. So it's pretty cool. And the fact that you guys also are making this brand accessible and talking about, you guys cover, I mean, you know, Worn and Wound does cover a lot of brands that have heritage, for sure. I mean, you guys, between Oris and Sin and Rado. But what I love too is, for me, I mean, listen, I try to talk about brands that I love, and I've been in this business my whole life, and I get like an education reading your site and a foray into what the hot new sort of entry level brand is. That's what I love about it, that I love discovering new brands on your website.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, that's really kind of, you know, that's the goal. And I think, you know, we've been fortunate to sort of get some more feedback from folks that, you know, whether you're new into watches or you know what you're talking about, you've been into it for a while. But, you know, I think the price point that we talk about, that sort of, especially when you get to like the sub 1,000, there's just so many watches and they're all vying for people's attention and there's a lot to cut through.
Yeah.
So I think that for some, you know, it maybe gets looked over because there's just so much going on there and not all of it is great. So, but what we try to do obviously is, you know, and we always say this, we're a very curated site. You know, we're trying to sort of cut through the fat, so to speak, and kind of bring the best of the best to the top. So, you know, I think you are going to find really interesting stuff. Even if you are, you know, a watch guy, quote unquote, you'll find interesting things on the site.
Now, how does the shop do for you guys? I mean, I know that's sort of a venture that you guys took on a year after you launched the site, was it, or a couple of years?
Yeah, it was about a year. About a year after we launched the site, yeah. You know, the shop was something that we always wanted to do. And so Zach and I founded the website together in 2011, and then we met our third business partner, James, later that year.
Yeah.
And we all had sort of wanted to do product. And I think, you know, in finding James and bringing him on board, like the stars sort of aligned. You know, Zach's background is in design. James's background is in sort of like scalable product development and logistics. So, you know, sort of pairing those two talents made running a shop a lot more feasible. Ever since we started it, I mean, I think it's a huge part of what we do. We really do kind of see ourselves as product developers, you know, just as much as we see ourselves as writers about watches. And we feel like, you know, especially in the recent years, we've put a lot of attention toward developing unique products. You know, we obviously have a lot of watch straps, but even within the watch strap space, like we're doing unique things, you know, whether that's in construction or design. But, you know, when you step outside of that, you look at like the work we've been doing with our cases. You know, we think we have the best roll you can find, the best watch roll you can find on the market. And there's some design details that, you know, to be honest, you've sort of seen, you know, replicated other places that, you know, we really think we pioneered some sort of sense there. And, you know, we've developed some custom-made tools. And, you know, obviously, you know, the biggest project that we launched very recently was Adapt Strap, which is our American-made nylon watch strap, which, you know, again, you know, currently is the only American-made nylon strap on the market, which was a big project for us. Yeah.
So I think what separates you guys is you guys aren't you're not just selling straps and watch rolls and cases and things like that. You guys are designing them as well, which is very important to know, because like most people, when you go, you just see these generic brands, which are okay. But like, I mean, I love the details on your stuff. It's very cool. What you guys are doing is very, very cool. And I have a lot of respect for it. And I just wanted everyone to sort of know about it, especially those out there who are kind of scared to dip their toe into the entry level market or the watch market or the accessory market or whatever. You know, what you guys are doing, what Blake and Zach are doing is really pioneering. And I know it's going to evolve into something even greater and bigger. And I'm very grateful I had the opportunity to interview you guys today. And I can't thank you enough for doing it.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no. We really appreciate that you really get what we're doing and you're so appreciative of it. I mean, that's incredibly gratifying and, you know, frankly, humbling to have you say all that stuff. So we really, really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I hope, you know, just continued success to you guys. And hopefully when I come to New York, we'll be able to break bread or have a drink or whatever.
Of course. Anytime.
Thank you, guys. I wish you guys a great season. I'm sure we'll be in touch soon.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was my one-on-one interview with Worn & Wound's co-founders, Zach Weiss and Blake Malin. It was a great interview, great conversation. These guys are definitely moving and shaking and doing things in a way that's accessible, making it, you know, really demystifying the whole watch thing at an entry-level price point and covering so many topics, doing a an event or a watch fair like Windup. I really hope I get to make it next year. If you're in New York next year, you should definitely make it. Definitely check out Worn and Wound. That's www.wornandwound, so WORNANDWOUND.com. And you can check out their website. It's very informative. They go in depth on watches that they like. And I think it will be a great way to dip your toe into the watch world and get immersed in it and have fun with it. So definitely check that out. I want to thank Fernanda for arranging this interview. I want to thank John Tarantino from Martin Arrow Watches, who introduced me to Worn and Wound 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm excited to see what happens. Definitely, you can email me at amitdevhonda@gmail.com. It's $150 to get my advice and for me to guide, advise, and assist you and help you source a watch. I do now do a 15-minute complimentary phone consultation, so you can get started for sure by emailing me at amitdevhonda@gmail.com. And after the 15-minute consultation, if you want to proceed, it's $150. And should you choose to decide to buy a watch from me within a year, I do deduct the $150 you pay towards the purchase of your watch. So you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So definitely do that if you're interested in purchasing a watch or need advice or what have you. Check out my website. It's really informative, www.amitdevhonda.com. It's highly educational. You can listen to my podcast. You can check out my services. You can pay my $150 consultation fee. You can check out Kingsley 1945 watches. I'm a distributor of Kingsley 1945 watches. They're style designed and hand assembled in Providence, Rhode Island by the Kingsley Watch Company. They're built like watches in the $5,000 to $7,000 range for under $2,000, and they're highly customizable as well. Check that out. You can read my award-winning blog. You can check out so many other things, my Facebook Live posts, right from the sidebar when you click the About section. You can see my Facebook Live posts and things that I like. Definitely check out my Instagram and Twitter. My handles for both are at Amit Dev Honda. And until next time, rock on and fly backwards.